The scripture today is from Mark 4, 20. As he said, the kingdom of God is to scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, the parable of the mustard seed. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. The word of the Lord.
Grows to be the greatest of shrubs? I think that's kind of a low bar for the kingdom of God. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God more than he talks about anything else in the Gospels, but always in parables, as he said here, always in ways that are sideways, slant, contradictory, elusive. So I'm going to just let it go. It's too hot for theology. I'm just going to tell you a story. And this isn't one of these things where I'm going to come around at the end and there's going to be a twist and it's going to be a point. It's not. It's just a story. It's Father's Day and I just thought of this story. It's Ventura, California, the year of our Lord, 1972. I'm in kindergarten there. Now, Ventura, California, I don't know what you're thinking, but it's not nice. It's like more Oxnard than Santa Barbara, where we lived. It's more like not so much Ventura Beach as maybe like Jesse Ventura. You know, it was not a great, place. But I was there in kindergarten, and I loved going to kindergarten. I went to E.P. Foster Elementary School. It wasn't that far from my house, but I took the bus, and I wanted to get out there on my own even, you know, when I was five. So being able to ride the bus, I got off at the end of the block. I could walk all the way down the block by myself. I had that independence, but that's not why I like going to kindergarten. I like going to kindergarten because when we sat in the magic circle for story time, Mary Catherine Komorak would hold my hand. She would secretly hold my hand, and I loved it. I just thought this was the most amazing thing. I mean, she was the most amazing thing. Sometimes she held my hand, but sometimes if she got to pick what toy she wanted to play with, first she would pick the blocks and then ask me to come and play blocks with her. And I was like, I can't tell you what. I mean, I was just so happy. I came home, and I said to my dad one day, I said, you're not even going to believe it, but this girl, Mary Catherine Komorak, every time in the magic circle, she holds my hand. And my dad kind of smiled, and he's like, oh, and it's like that. I'm like, yeah, I think she like might be my girlfriend. He's like, oh, all right, well, good for you. Yeah, I loved it. I was excited to go to school every day. And so one day, I go to school, we get there, we put our stuff away. It's time to call into go in the magic circle, and I'm going to find my usual space, and I don't see Mary Catherine Komorek anywhere. She's not there anywhere. And so I just like, I sit down, and then I see Sandra Anderson coming right towards me. And Sandra Anderson sits down right next to me, and she moves kind of closer to me, and I move a little bit further away, and then she tries to hold my hand. And I'm like, no, you're not my girlfriend. I do not want to hold hands with you. Because, I mean, I don't know. She didn't make me feel, you know, I don't even know how to describe it then. She just made me feel like she smelled funny. Not that she did, but that's how it seemed to me, you know. It just wasn't. So I'm able to keep her away from holding my hand, and I'm just very overwhelmed by this whole thing. I don't even know how to deal with it. I'm 5 years old. I mean, sure, I'm a man of the world, but I'm five. I can walk half a block by myself, you know. I am, you know, kind of grown, mature for my age, but this is overwhelming to me. And so I just excuse myself. I tell Mrs. Golodowich that I need to go to the bathroom. And I go there, and I just stand outside the classroom until I'm sure that the magic circle story hour time is over. And I go back in, and there Sandra is going like, come here, we can play blocks, we can play blocks. Like, she had been watching me and Mary Catherine Komorek, and she was trying to, like, I think be my girlfriend. And I could sort of understand that she, it did seem like, I could see why she would want to do that, because I liked it so much, and I could see why somebody would want to have that feeling that I had when I got to hold hands in the magic circle, and I could see why somebody would want to have that. And I did kind of seem like, she always did seem like she kind of had a, like she was sort of a little sad or something. And she, like, or maybe wanted something that she didn't know what it was. So I felt that sometimes, but I also just thought she just smelled weird. And that kind of... So, at the end of school, I go and I get on the bus. She rides my bus. She gets off at the corner where I get off. She evidently isn't as mature as me because her mom is always meeting her there to walk her home. And so I get off the bus, and I'm walking home, just looking straight ahead. I don't want to meet her eye. And I hear her say, Russ! 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 I don't want to stop, but I do stop, and I turn around. She's like, my mom is not here. My mom is not here, and I can't get home by myself. I didn't even have to walk home. I never walked home by myself. You have to walk me home. This seemed like a setup to me. I didn't want to walk her home. I wasn't going to walk her home. I was kind of afraid of her, to be honest with you. And so I didn't say anything. I just turned around and started walking kind of fast. And she was behind me, and she kept following me. Because her house, you had to go the other direction, but she was following me. And she's like, Russ, Russ, you got to walk me home. Russ, Russ, you got to walk me home. Come on, I've never walked home by myself. And I broke into a run. I broke into a ran. I ran, and she was running after me. Russ, Russ, and I could feel her getting close to me, and I was really freaking out. And I was running, and I started screaming because I knew my dad was home. And I could see that the door was open, and I could see that he was like up on a ladder changing a light bulb or something. I could just see like the bottom half of him, so I started screaming, Dad, Dad, help me! Dad, Dad, somebody's chasing me! Somebody's chasing me! And I run in, so he jumps off the ladder, and he looks around, and he sees this little girl running and crying, and he's like, who's chasing you guys? And I'm like, no, she's the one chasing me! And she was crying by this point. And my dad just gives me the meanest look, you know? And he, like, takes her and he hugs her and puts her on his knee and says, what's wrong? Tell me what's going on. And she said, well, my mom isn't here and I got to walk home. And my dad said, well, we'll walk you home. And I was like, I'm not walking her home. And he's like, gives me that mean look. He's like, don't worry. Don't worry, Sandra. We're going to walk you home. Come on, Russ. Let's go. This, like, betrayal. I came to him because I wanted help. I wanted him to rescue me from her. And now he's on her side. walking her home and trying to make me walk her home too. So I started to get mad. We're walking down the street. He told me I had to walk with him. But then I just like, that was it. I crossed the street. And I walked on the sidewalk on the other side of the street. And I kept pace with them. I was going to do what he told me to say, but I wasn't going to walk by him. And he's walking, and she's, you know, her face is all red and blotchy from crying. And he's looking down at her, and he's talking to her. And I'm feeling more and more betrayed, and I'm looking mad. And then he says something to her, and she isn't crying anymore. And they're walking along, and I'm looking over at them, and he says something else, and she says something to him, and then he says something, and she laughs, and she's laughing now, and I'm just like, what are they doing? And I look over and I watch him, and my dad, he takes her hand, and she gets this big smile on her face, and they're walking hand in hand, and she has this smile on her face like I've never seen Sandra with this kind of smile on her face. And they're just talking and smiling, and we're walking, and it seems like, I notice as I'm just watching them, I realize I have that same smile on my face too now. And each time they put their feet down on that sidewalk, it seems to almost shimmer a little bit, you know? And I don't know, it was one of those things like holding hands in the magic circle that I could not explain. And I crossed the street back with them and walked on the other side of my dad. And he took my hand with his other hand, and the three of us walked down to her house with just all with this, like, I wouldn't even know what to call it. It's like it was shimmering, I would say, something like that. And we went there, and her aunt was there, and it was a mix-up, and so she was fine, and my dad and I walked back to our house, holding hands, saying nothing, just like smiling. It's like the kingdom of God is like catching a glimpse of the heart of mercy. Sometimes it's something you can't see head on, or you can't pursue it, but it's happening all around. And sometimes you just catch that shimmer, and it stays with you.